Well, I want to look tonight at the word boldness. If you look at verse 29 one more time, it says, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. We should all want boldness. We should all desire boldness. I want boldness like Pastor, I forgot his name, Wana from Laos. Pastor Wana from Laos, he began preaching in his house church, and there was a revival in his town, a small town. 105 people were saved, and they joined his little home church. There's only one problem. It is illegal in his town. It is illegal in his province. And so the authorities came in and they arrested the church. They disbanded the church and they brought the church to re-education camps. We have re-education camps, but that's a different sermon. They brought them to re-education camps. And at the end of the time, they forced them to sign affidavits renouncing and denying Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Wana is still in prison to this day. This happened in January in the country of Laos. I want that kind of boldness. Amen. Do you want that kind of boldness? And I wonder sometimes, why is it that Satan does not do that in America? And I think the answer is because he doesn't need to. We fold like a lawn chair when our mom gives us a little bit of fuss, or our cousin, or somebody at work. Why would he need to get the government involved when we fold so easily? Right? I want boldness, though, like Pastor Wana, like Shoaib from this morning from Afghanistan, who, in the face of death, though staring down the barrel of a 20-year life sentence, he would not deny Christ, and he remained firm and bold unto the end in his witness. So we all want boldness. But the question I have also is, why do we need boldness? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Notice why they need boldness. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Why do they need boldness? Because they're speaking his word. You don't need boldness to just speak. You need boldness to speak his word, because it is his word that other people hate so much, and they tend to take it out on the messenger. You need boldness. You need confidence to freely speak the word of God, because the world hates the word of God. Let me read this in John 7:7. Jesus says, the world hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. That's why you need boldness. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. That's why you need boldness. You need boldness because teaching the word of God will get you laughed at. It will get you mocked. And it will get you hated. And it will get you despised. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:16. Just listen to this. Behold, Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. I want to ask, why do your sheep have to graze so close to the wolves, Jesus? Why must we live life on the edge of a cliff? You know that, right? Because all of his servants, he prunes, doesn't he? That's a different sermon, but you know that. He prunes us that we might produce more fruit. And he uses the wolves to prune the sheep. That's amazing. And he uses the evil for our own sanctification. That's another sermon, but back to the point. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men. For they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. Shoaib knows that. Pastor Wana knows that. Jesus and Peter and John and Daniel and David and God's servants know this. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Why do you need boldness? That's why you need boldness. Now, that does not sound like American Christianity to me, does it? You will need boldness, and I want to give you some boldness this evening by looking at Jesus Christ. I think the best way to impart through God's word some boldness to all of us is just to see how great Jesus is. In other words, I could say boldness is God confidence. We need some God confidence. That's what Peter and John have on the day as they're standing before the Sanhedrin. They're very confident, but God confident. Peter had already played with the self-confidence thing, the self-confidence card, back when he said, I don't care who denies you, Jesus. I will never deny you. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Stop being so self-confident, Peter. What we need is some God confidence. And so I'm going to do that by just presenting to you a story of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're still going to be talking about Peter. He says there's so many object lessons, so many lessons in the life of Peter. You will need boldness, and I want to give you some of this by looking at Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. We can read this together. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, that's a Gentile territory, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, those aren't bad things, but they're not Jesus Christ. They don't get it. And we've talked about this before. Verse 16, Simon Peter replied, but he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter gets it. Peter knows who the Messiah is. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah. But what you will see is that he doesn't yet understand that the Messiah must die, that he must suffer. He loves Christ and he wants to follow Christ, but he is not yet ready to follow Christ crucified. Now, he's not there yet, but he's going to get there. He just needs a little bit of boldness, I would say. Look down, if you would, in Matthew 16, 21. After Peter it is revealed to Peter from God that Jesus is the Messiah. Now Jesus begins in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, we know where this story leads. We talk about it often around here. Peter is rebuking God. Big mistake. Peter is not following Christ crucified. He is following Christ. He loves the Christ who will rule and reign and conquer the Romans and rule in Jerusalem. And he loves to be by his side. But when he finds out that the Messiah's plan is actually to go and suffer and be mocked and killed, he doesn't like that plan so much. If you would continue in Matthew 16, 24, Jesus rebukes Peter. And then Jesus adds in verse 24 of Matthew 16, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I will submit to you that when Peter and John stand before the Sanhedrin and they speak with boldness, what they are actually doing is denying themselves. That they are picking up their cross and following after him. And in fact, they probably think they might be crucified for saying what they're saying. They're saying, I'll put it on my back. I'll die. I'll follow in the footsteps of my Savior. But at this point in Matthew 16, Peter doesn't have the boldness yet. He doesn't yet have it. He's not willing to follow Christ crucified. So I believe that what is going on in chapter 17 of Matthew is partially God, Jesus Christ, giving Peter some help, giving him some God confidence, giving Peter some boldness so that he can follow him to Jerusalem. Look at Matthew 17. We just continue on in the same context. Matthew 17, 1. You know this story is the Transfiguration. But let's read it together and look at it. And I hope that looking at the Transfiguration will give you confidence in Jesus Christ and in his sovereignty. And in the fact that, listen, in the fact that he always wins every battle. Okay? Like the Stephen story this morning, it looked like Stephen and God were losing. But really, like we said, if that's how God loses, what will it look like when he wins? Amen. So let's look at Matthew 17:1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, his brother. This is three people in the inner circle. They're going up to a private mountain by themselves. Peter has just had a hard time following Christ crucified. And he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured. He was metamorphosized. He was transfigured before them and his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. Now, if you'll remember the Old Testament, Moses goes up into the cloud of Mount Sinai. You know the story, maybe. The people did not want to go on Mount Sinai. God was very scary, and his wrath was awe-inspiring. And they said, no, we need a mediator. We need someone like Moses. So Moses goes up the mountain, and he goes to a wrathful God for a scared people. And he goes up into the mountain, and when he comes down from the mountain, his face is shining. Moses' face is shining so bright that he must wear a veil because the people cannot handle it. But you see, Moses' face is shining because it is reflecting the glory of God. Jesus is not reflecting. Jesus is shining. So there's a difference there. But these are the illusions that we are being taught and told by Matthew from the Old Testament. They are on a mountain. There is Jesus. He is radiating. He is shining. And look at verse 3. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus. Now, Luke and Mark tell us some other parts of the story. They tell us that Peter was afraid. I would be afraid, too. I get very afraid in the dark. And if I'm up in a high mountain by myself and a few other guys and Jesus is shining, floating in the air, I'm going to be flat on my face, scared. And you would, too. I promise it. Guaranteed. You would be frightened. Just as the people who were frightened at the foot of Mount Sinai, you would be scared. Martin Luther said, you think you can just walk up into the presence of God without a mediator? You might not like what you see when you get there. Peter was very afraid. But here's Moses and Elijah, and Peter, out of fear, says, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Now, there is a lot to talk about with the tents, the tabernacles that he wants to build, but we're not going to do that tonight. So just hold on to that and you can study that a little bit on your own. But one thing I want to show you is that Moses and Elijah are two incredibly important Old Testament figures. Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. Moses is a representative of the law, and Elijah is representative of the prophets. And in Jewish understanding, Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, all of the Old Testament. So here is Moses, here is Elijah, and there is Jesus. And Peter, out of fear, says, let's build three tabernacles. And listen what happens. Verse 5, he was speaking when, you see, he's interrupted. Matthew is showing us that what Peter is saying is not very important. He was speaking still when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, now, if you know clouds, you know your Old Testament, that is the Shekinah cloud of God's glory, which was there at Mount Sinai and was there in many other places in Scripture. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Peter, listen to him. Okay, now, there is so much in that verse. We have to talk about it. Because you have to remember, you have to understand, what is God doing? What is Christ doing? I believe he is giving Peter specifically and the disciples a great confidence in who he is. He says, I am the Messiah. I am going to die. But listen, come with me up this mountain and let me show you one thing. Doesn't matter if I die, Peter, I'm going to win. You understand that? I think he's giving him boldness and confidence here. And so he says here in verse five, he says, the voice from the cloud, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The three things there. Three Old Testament allusions. This is my beloved Son is a reference to the Psalms, the Son of God, the Davidic King, the one who would conquer in the name of Jehovah. This is my beloved Son, the Son of God. And the next phrase, with whom I am well pleased, is from the book of Isaiah, referring to the suffering servant who would die for the sins of his people. Isaiah 42:1 says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, also in whom I am well pleased. The suffering servant of Isaiah. He is the Son of God of the Psalms. And then the last phrase, listen to him. Listen to this verse in Deuteronomy 18:15. Are you ready? Because just as Moses went up into the presence of God, a wrathful God for a scary people, for scared people, he says this. Moses said to the people, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Moses said to the people, God is going to raise up a prophet for you just like me, a mediator between you and God. one to go up the mountain into the cloud and to take the fury. Your Lord, the Lord your God, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Listen, the voice from the cloud apparently knows his Old Testament well. He wrote it, after all. And he says, this is the Son of God, the Davidic king. This is the suffering servant, the one who would take on the iniquities of his people. And this is the prophet of whom Moses foretold. Peter, listen to him. Moses and Elijah, they're here. But listen to him, Peter. Not three tents, not three tabernacles. Jesus Christ is greater and beyond Moses and greater and beyond Elijah. And that's a theme that you're going to see all throughout the book of Matthew. Let's turn to verse 6 of Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 6. The story goes on. When the disciples heard this, they did what everyone would do in this situation. They fell on their faces and were terrified. When the Shekinah cloud of God's glory comes and it speaks, men get on their faces. But this is so beautiful. But Jesus, the prophet like Moses, the mediator, came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Do you not see what Matthew is teaching us? Do you not see who Jesus Christ is? And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Listen to him. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. So keep it a secret, Peter, James, and John. Keep this a complete secret, because I have a mission, and the mission is what? To die in Jerusalem. But when I am raised, you go and you tell it on the mountain. Amen? Now, Peter gets this. He learns his lesson, and he's not perfect. He doesn't learn his lesson perfectly, because in just a few days, he's going to be cowering in the presence of the servant girl who's scrutinizing him, interrogating him viciously. But he gets it eventually. Turn to 2 Peter. And this is the last time you have to turn. The Baptist air condition. There go the pages. Cooling this place off. 2 Peter chapter 1. R.C. Sproul said that, by the way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is Peter writing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths. See, we and the apostles, we're not just following legends and stories and fables. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Stop right there. Peter is now divulging the secrets of the Transfiguration Mountain. We saw his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Now he is telling it. He is telling the news, and he is telling it with boldness because he has some inside information. He has some special revelation as to the identity of Jesus. And when Peter stands before the Sanhedrin, he knows something they don't know. And that is the source of his boldness. He has and has received special revelation that they have not yet received. And so he can stand boldly and speak freely, even though his life is at stake, because he knows the reality of the situation. Jesus never loses. He's God. That's huge. But then, this is even better. Verse 19. Peter says, you think that's something? We have something even better today. And we have something more sure than the transfiguration on the mountain. We have the prophetic word. We have the Bible. To which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Church, do you see that? It needs to be real clear in your minds. We have something greater. We have a greater source of boldness than the transfiguration. We have the scriptures. Amen. We would do well to pay attention to them. Amen. Amen. I hope that gives you boldness. It gives me boldness. Hope it gives you boldness. The next time you stand before the lions, you know that God will win. Amen, church. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are the sovereign Lord. You created us. You saved us. You sustain us. You will raise us up from the dead. And we look forward to it, Lord. We look forward to the time when everyone will acknowledge your sovereignty. We look forward to the time when all knees will bow to your sovereign rule. Lord, we thank you for the inside information. We thank you for the special revelation of your word. We thank you for the faith that you have given us and the ears to hear that you have given us and the eyes to see which you have given us. We certainly have nothing to boast over, Lord. You have been very good to us. Lord God, we pray for continued boldness in our midst. We pray that we would be able to speak freely and confidently and frankly about your word. May we not twist or change the message for our own personal comfort. May we preach the word, teach the word, communicate the word in spite of the consequences, knowing that you, Lord God, sit on the throne. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's all stand and sing.